This is Audible.
Macmillan Audio presents Daughter of the Pirate King by Tricia Levenseller. Read for you by Marisa Carlin. Let us not, dear friends, forget our dear friends, the cuttlefish. Captain Jack Sparrow, Pirates of the Caribbean, at World's End. Chapter 1. I hate having to dress like a man. The cotton shirt is too loose, the breeches too big, the boots too uncomfortable. My hair is bound on the top of my head, secured in a bun underneath a small sailor's hat. My sword is strapped tightly to the left side of my waist, a pistol undrawn on my right. The clothing is awkward, as it hangs loose in all the wrong places. And the smell. You'd think men did nothing but roll around in dead fish guts while smearing their own excrement on their sleeves. But perhaps I shouldn't complain so. Such precautions are necessary when one's been invaded by pirates. We're outnumbered, outgunned. 7 of my men lie dead on their backs. 2 more jumped overboard as soon as they saw the black flag of the Nightfarer on the horizon. Deserters. They're the most cowardly filth. They deserve whatever fate comes to them. Whether they tire and drown, or get claimed by the sea life. Steel twangs through the air. The ship rocks from the blasts of cannons. We cannot hold out much longer. 2 more are down, Captain! Manzi, my temporary first mate, says, from where she peeks through the trapdoor. I should be up there, shoving steel between ribs, I say, not hiding like some helpless whelp. A little patience, she reminds me. If we're to survive this, you need to stay put. Survive? I ask, offended. Let me rephrase. If we're to succeed, you really shouldn't be seen performing impressive feats with the sword. But maybe if I just killed a few of them, I say more to myself. You know we can't risk that, she says. Then she adds abruptly, more men have boarded the ship. I think they're headed this way. Finally. Give the order to surrender. Aye, Captain. She ascends the rest of the steps leading to the deck. And don't get yourself killed, I hiss after her. She nods before traveling through the trapdoor. Don't get killed, I say again in my head. Manzi is one of only 3 I trust on this ship. She's a good gal, very bright, optimistic, and a good voice of reason, which I desperately needed during our voyage. She volunteered to come, along with 2 other girls from my real crew. I shouldn't have allowed them to join me, but I needed their help keeping these worthless men in line. Life these last few weeks would have been so much easier if I could have had my crew on this venture. Lay down your arms! I can barely make out her cry through the sounds of fighting. But then things calm down. Cutlasses clatter to the wooden deck almost instantly. The men currently under my command had to be expecting the order, praying for it even. If I did not order the surrender, perhaps they would have given up on their own. By no means does this crew consist of the bravest bunch. I climb the stairs, lying in wait just below decks, staying out of sight. I'm to play the part of the harmless cabin boy. If these men were to discover who I truly am...
Check below decks. Make sure no one's hiding.
It's one of the pirates. I can't see him from where I hide, but if he's giving orders, he's either the first mate or the captain. I tense, even though I know exactly what comes next. The trapdoor lifts, and a hideous face comes into view, complete with a foul, scraggly beard, yellow teeth, and a broken nose. Meaty arms grasp me roughly, hoisting me off the ladder and tossing me onto the deck. It's a miracle that my hat stays on.
Line them up.
I stand as my weapons are removed by the ugly pirate. Then his foot jams into my back as he forces me to my knees, along with the rest of the men. I look down the line and relax as I see Manzi. Sarinda and Zima are unharmed as well. Good. My girls are safe.
To hell with the rest of the crew.
I take a moment to observe the pirate barking out orders. He's a young man, perhaps not even 20 years of age. Unusual, that. Young men are not usually the ones giving orders, especially among crews such as this one. His eyes are alight with the victory of the battle. His stance is sure, his face confident. He's probably a head taller than I, were I standing, with dark brown hair the colour of a seal's coat. His face is pleasant enough to look at, but that means nothing to me when I know he belongs to this crew. He notices Manzi in the lineup. Her hat has fallen off, revealing her long brown hair and pretty face. He winks at her. All in all, I'd say he's a cocky bastard. My crew and I wait in silence for whatever the pirates have in store for us. Smoke billows around us from the cannon blasts. Debris is scattered around the ship. The smell of gunpowder leaches into the air, scratching at the back of my throat. Footsteps sound as a man walks across the gangplank that connects the two ships. His head points down, revealing nothing more than a black hat with a white plume rising from the side.
Captain, the same pirate shouting orders from before says, all the men on the ship are before you. Good, Raiden, but let's hope they're not all men.
A few pirates snicker. Some of my men glance nervously in my direction. Fools. They're giving me away too easily.
I've spotted 3 lasses so far, but none of them have red hair.
The captain nods.
Listen up, he shouts,
raising his head so we can see him for the first time. He's not much older than his cocky first mate. I slowly take in the faces of the pirate crew. Many can't even grow hair on their chins. It's an incredibly young pirate crew. I'd heard that the Nightfarer was no longer under the command of the pirate Lord Jeskor, that he was succeeded by a young captain, but I hadn't expected the entire crew to be so young.
You have all heard stories of Jeskor the Headbreaker, the young captain continues. I am his son, Draxon, and you will find that my reputation will grow to be far worse.
I can't help myself. I laugh. Does he think he can make a reputation for himself by telling everyone how fearsome he is?
Kieran,
the captain says, nodding to the man behind me. Kieran rams the bottom of his sword onto the top of my head. It's not hard enough to knock me out, but it is enough to hurt like hell. That's enough of that, I think. Manzi's words of caution are so far from my mind now. I'm done kneeling on the floor like some servant. Bracing my hands against the wooden deck, I extend my legs backwards, hooking my feet behind the heels of the ugly pirate standing there. With one yank forward, Kieran topples backward. I stand quickly, turn around, and take my sword and pistol from him before he can regain his feet. I point the pistol at Draxon's face. Get off the ship and take your men with you. Behind me, I hear scuffling as Kieran finds his feet. I jerk my elbow backward, connecting with his enormous gut. There's a large splat as he collapses to the ground once again. It's quiet. Everyone can hear the click of my pistol cocking back. Leave now. The captain tries to peer under my hat. I could duck under his gaze, but that would mean taking my eyes off him. All at once, a shot fires, wrenching the pistol from my hand. It lands on the deck before skittering out of sight. I look to the right to see the first mate, Raiden, placing his pistol back into his holster. A resulting arrogant smile stretches across his face. Though I would like to slash the look from him with my sword, I can admit it was an impressive shot. But that doesn't stop me from getting angry. I draw my sword and step toward the first mate. You could have taken my hand.
Only if I'd wanted to.
All too quickly, 2 men grab me from behind, one holding each arm.
I think you talk far too much for a mere cabin boy whose voice hasn't yet dropped,
the captain says.
Remove the hat.
One of my captors yanks the hat from my head, and my hair falls into place, reaching halfway down my back.
Princess Alosa, Jackson says. There you are. You're a bit younger than I expected.
He's one to talk. I may be 3 years shy of 20, but I'd bet my sword arm I could best him in any challenge of wits or skill.
I was worried we'd have to tear apart the ship before we found you, he continues. You will be coming with us now.
I think you'll learn quickly, Captain, that I don't like being told what to do. Draxon snorts, rests his hand on his belt, and turns back toward the Nightfarer. His first mate, however, never takes his eyes off me, as though he anticipates a violent reaction. Well, of course I'm going to react violently, but why should he expect it already? I slam my heel into the foot of the pirate holding me on the right. He grunts and releases me to reach down. Then I jab the side of my freed hand into the other pirate's throat. He makes a choking sound before placing his hands at his neck. Draxon turns to see what the commotion is. Meanwhile, Raiden levels another pistol at me, even whilst a smile still rests upon his face. Single-shot pistols take time to reload with gunpowder in an iron ball, which is why most men carry at least two of them.
"I have terms, Captain," I say.
"Terms?" he says in disbelief.
"We will negotiate the terms of my surrender. First, I will have your word that my crew will be freed and unharmed."
Draxon removes his right hand from his belt and reaches down for one of his pistols. As soon as he has it, he points it at the first of my men in line and fires. The pirate behind him jumps out of the way as the body of my crewman falls backward.
"Do not test me," Draxon commands. "You will get on my ship. Now."
He is certainly eager to prove his reputation. But if he thinks he can intimidate me, he is wrong. Again, I pick up my sword. Then I rake it across the throat of the pirate recovering from the strike to the neck I gave him. Raiden's eyes widen while the captain's narrow. Draxon pulls out another gun from his waist and fires at the second man in line. He goes down like the first. I ram my sword into the closest pirate next to me. He cries out before dropping first to his knees, then to the deck. The boots I wear are now sticky with blood. I've left a few red footprints on the wood beneath me.
"Stop,"
Raiden shouts. He steps closer, pointing his gun at my chest. It is of no surprise to me that his smile is now gone. "If you wanted me dead, you would have already killed me," I say. "Since you want me alive, you will comply with my terms." In a matter of seconds, I disarm Kieran, the pirate who grabbed me from before. I force him to his knees. One hand yanks his head back by the hair. The other holds my sword steady against his neck. He doesn't make a sound as I hold his life in my hands. Impressive, considering he has seen me kill two of his shipmates. He knows I will feel no guilt at his death. Draxon stands before a third member of my crew, holding a new pistol. This one's Mancy. I don't let the fear show on my face. He has to think me indifferent. This will work.
"The one who asked for the security of her crew, you sure are being callous when I kill them off one by one," Draxon says.
"But for every man I lose, you shall lose one as well. If you intend to kill them all after I'm on board, then it doesn't really matter if I lose a few while bargaining for the safety of the rest. You intend to take me captive, Captain. If you wish me to board your ship willingly, then you would be wise to listen to my offer. Or shall we see just how many of your men I can kill as you try to force me over?"
Raiden approaches his captain and whispers something to him. Draxon tightens his hold on his weapon. I feel my heart beating rapidly. Not Mancy. Not Mancy, she's one of mine. I can't let her die.
"State your terms, princess."
He practically spits out my title.
"And be quick about it."
"The crew is to be unharmed and released. I will come aboard your ship without resisting. Also, you will bring my accessories over."
"Your accessories?"
"Yes, my wardrobe and personal belongings."
He turns to Raiden.
"She wants her clothes," he says incredulously.
"I am a princess, and I will be treated as such."
The captain looks about ready to shoot me, but Raiden speaks up.
"What do we care, Captain, if she wants to get herself all fixed up for us every day? I, for one, won't complain."
Soft laughter resonates from his crew.
Very well, Draxon says at last. Will that be all, Your Highness?
Yes.
Then get your pampered ass over to the ship. You, men,
he points to a couple of brutes in the back,
get her belongings to the ship. As for the princess's crew, get the lot of you to rowboats. I will be sinking this ship. It's a 2.5-day sail to the nearest port if you row quickly. And I suggest you do before you die of thirst. Once you reach the shore, you will take my note of ransom to the pirate king and inform him that I have his daughter.
Men from both sides hurry about to carry out orders. The captain steps forward and holds out his hand for the sword. Reluctantly, I give it up. Kieran, the pirate I've been threatening, rises to his feet and scurries as far from me as possible. I don't get a chance to smile at his reaction, because Draxon lands a blow on my left cheek. My whole body lurches from the force of it. The inside of my mouth bleeds from where my teeth struck skin. I spit blood onto the deck.
Let's get one thing straight, Alosa. You are my prisoner. While it appears you've learned a thing or two from growing up as the daughter of the pirate king, the fact remains that you will be the only woman on a ship full of cutthroats, thieves, and blackhearts who haven't made port in a good long while. Do you know what that means?
I spit again, trying to get the taste of blood out of my mouth.
It means your men haven't been to a whorehouse recently.
Draxon smiles.
If you ever try to make me lose face in front of my men like that again, I may just leave your cell unlocked at night so anyone can wander in. And I will fall asleep, listening to your screams.
You're daft if you think you will ever hear me scream. And you'd better pray you never fall asleep while my cell is unlocked.
He gives me an evil smile. I note that he has a gold tooth. His hat sits atop black hair that peeks under in little curls. His face is dark from the sun, and his coat is a little too big for him, as if it belonged to someone before him. Stole it off his father's corpse, perhaps.
Raiden, Draxon shouts. Take the girl over. Put her in the brig. Then get to work on her.
Get to work on her?
Gladly,
Raiden says as he approaches. He grasps my arm tightly, almost hard enough for it to hurt. It's a sharp contrast to his light expression. It makes me wonder if the two men I killed were his friends. He tows me toward the other ship. As I walk, I watch my men and women drift away on the rowboats. They row at a steady pace, so as not to tire themselves too quickly. Mansi, Sarinda, and Zima will make sure they swap positions regularly, so each man can get a turn to rest. They're bright girls. The men, however, are throwaways. My father handpicked each of them. Some of them owe him money. Some of them got caught stealing from the treasury. Some didn't follow orders like they were supposed to. And some have no other fault except for being an annoyance. Whatever the case, my father gathered them all together in one crew, and I brought no more than 3 girls from my ship to help me keep them in line. After all, father suspected that most of my men would be killed once Draxon took me. Lucky for them, I was able to save most of their miserable lives. I hope father won't be too upset. But that doesn't matter right now. The point is that I'm now aboard the Nightfarer. Of course, I couldn't make my capture look too easy. I had a part to play. Draxon and his crew can't suspect me. They can't know I was sent on a mission to rob their ship.
Chapter 2 I envy Raiden's boots. They're of a fine workmanship and black as a shark's hungry eye. The buckles look to be pure silver. The leather is firm and tight. The material folds around his calves in a perfect fit. His steps thud on the deck, sturdy, loud, powerful. Meanwhile, I constantly trip as Raiden drags me along. My 2 big boots keep nearly falling off. Whenever I hesitate so I can readjust them, Raiden yanks harder on my arm. I have to catch myself several times before I fall to the floor.
"Keep up now, lass,"
he says merrily, knowing full well I'm incapable of doing just that. Finally, I stomp on his foot. He grunts, but to his credit does not let me go. I expect him to hit me like Draxon did, but he doesn't. He just hurries me along faster. I could, of course, break away from him easily if I wanted to. But I can't seem too adept, especially when pitted against the first mate. And I need the pirates to settle down around me after my display back on the other ship. This ship is empty except for the two of us. All of Draxon's men are over on my ship, relieving it of anything valuable. Father gave me enough coin to make the pirates happy, but not too profitable. If I had been found traveling without any money, Draxon was bound to be suspicious. Raiden turns me to the right, where we face a set of stairs leading below decks. It's an uncomfortable trip downward. Twice I miss a step and nearly tumble all the way down. Raiden catches me each time, but his grip is always firmer than necessary. My skin will likely be bruised by tomorrow. Knowing this makes me angry. Which is why, when we are three steps from the bottom, I trip him. He's clearly not expecting it. He falls, but I didn't take into account that tight grip of his, so naturally, he takes me with him. The impact is painful. Raiden gets to his feet quickly, yanking me up with him. Then he shoves me into a corner, so I have nowhere to run. He rakes his deep brown eyes down and up, regarding me with curiosity. I'm something new. A project, perhaps. An assignment from his captain. He must learn the best way to deal with me. While he watches, I wonder what it is he gathers from my face and stance. My role is the part of the distressed and exasperated prisoner. But even when playing a part, pieces of a person's true self can sneak through the cracks. The trick is controlling which part of me I want him to see. For now, it is my stubbornness and temper. Those I don't have to pretend. He must come to some conclusion, as he says, "You said you would be a willing prisoner. I can see your word does not mean much to you." "Hardly," I retort. "If you had given me a chance to walk to the brig without your help instead of bruising my arm, your knees wouldn't be smarting." He says nothing while amusement lights up his eyes. Finally, he extends his arm in the direction of the brig, as if he is a potential partner presenting me with the dance floor. I step on without him, but from behind me he says, "Lass, you've the face of an angel, but the tongue of a snake." I'm tempted to turn around and kick him, but I manage to hold myself in check. There will be plenty of time for me to beat him soundly once I've gotten what I came for. I stand tall and walk the rest of the way to the brig. I observe the different cells quickly, selecting the cleanest one. Really, it looks just like the others, but I try to convince myself the dark substance in the corner is dirt. At least the cell has a chair and a table. I will have a place to put my belongings. I don't doubt for a moment that the captain will keep his word. It is mutually beneficial for all pirate captains to be honest with one another, even if we're likely to kill one another in their sleep. No deals and negotiations would be possible between rivaling lords without some semblance of trust. It's a new way of life for every pirate. My father introduced the concept of honesty into the pirate repertoire. All the pirates who wanted to survive under the new regime had to adopt it. For anyone found being dishonest in their dealings is quickly disposed of by the pirate king. I inspect the seat of the chair. Everything is too dirty for my liking, but it will have to do. I remove the large brown leather coat from my shoulders and cover the seat and back of the chair with it. Only then do I sit. Raiden smirks, probably at my clear unease in these quarters. He locks me in the cell and pockets the key. Then he pulls out a chair for himself and sits down, just on the other side of the bars. "What now?" I ask.
"Now we talk."
I make a show of sighing dramatically.
"You already have me prisoner. Go claim your ransom and leave me to sulk in peace."
"I'm afraid your father's money is not all we want from you."
I clutch the neckline of my cotton shirt as though I'm worried the pirates intend to undress me. This is part of the act. It would take a lot of men to restrain me. I have no trouble handling three at a time, and no more than that would fit in this cell.
"No one is going to touch you now that you're down here. I will see to that."
"And who will see to it that you do not touch me?"
Let me assure you, I have never had need to force myself upon a woman. They come willingly.
I find that hard to believe.
That's because I haven't worked my charms on you yet.
I laugh scornfully. As a female pirate raised by other pirates, I've had to fend off the most despicable and persistent of men. I'm not too worried.
And what would you do, Elosa, if you had to fend off a man who wasn't despicable and persistent?
I'll let you know when I meet one. He laughs. The sound is deep and rich.
Fair enough. But now to business. You are here because I want information.
That's nice. I want a clean cell. He leans back in his chair, getting comfortable. Perhaps he realizes this will take a while.
Where does Callaghan make port?
I snort. You're a terrible questioner. You think I'm going to hand over the location to my father's hideaway? Shouldn't you ease into the big questions? And since he is your king, you would do well to address him with his proper title.
Since I have his daughter locked up, I think I have the liberty to call him whatever I wish.
He will kill you and everyone else on this ship, and he will not make it quick. I felt it was about time I threw out a threat or two. That's what a real prisoner would do. Raiden doesn't look worried. Not at all. He wears his confidence as if it is merely another article of clothing upon his person.
It will be difficult for us to return you if we do not know your father's location.
You don't need to know it. He will find me.
We will be several days ahead of your father's men. That's more than enough time to escape to somewhere he will never find us.
I shake my head. You simpleton. My father has men in his employ throughout all of Mineria. It only takes one of them to spot you.
We are well aware of your father's reach, though I don't see how he thinks that merits his self-given title as king.
Now it is my turn to recline in my chair. You're jesting, right? My father controls the ocean. There is not a single man who sails without paying a toll to him. All pirates must pay a percentage of their plunder to him. Those who do not are blown sky high from the sea. So tell me, Fearless Raiden, first mate of the Nightfarer, if he kills men for shorting him on money owed, what do you think he will do to the men who have taken his daughter? You and this crew are nothing more than a bunch of little boys playing a dangerous game. Within a fortnight, every man on the sea will be looking for me. Of course, I intend to be off this vessel before a fortnight has passed.
Little boys.
He straightens in his chair.
You must be younger than nearly every man on this ship.
After everything I've said, that's what he held on to? Hardly. What are you, 15? I'm goading him. I know he must be much older than that. But I'm curious as to his actual age.
18, he corrects me.
Regardless, my age has nothing to do with anything. I have a special set of skills that make me a better pirate than most men can ever hope of becoming. Raiden tilts his head to the side.
And what skills might those be?
Wouldn't you like to know? His grin widens at that.
As I'm sure you've already guessed, this is no ordinary crew. We may be younger than most men at sea, but most of us have seen the cruelest side of life there is. The men are ruthless, each one of them already killers.
For a moment his face drops, and a hint of sadness washes over him. He is reflecting on some former time. If you're going to start crying, could you wait until you get back on deck? I can't abide tears. Raiden levels his gaze at me. Almost as if he's not looking at me, but through me.
You're a truly heartless creature, Elosa. You kill without hesitating. You can best two men at a time in a fight. You watch your own men dying without blinking. I can only imagine the kind of upbringing you must have had under the most notorious pirate in all of Mineria.
Let's not forget the fact that I'm a better shot than you. He laughs, showing a nice set of teeth. Impressive for a pirate.
I think I shall enjoy our talks together over the next good long while. And I sincerely hope I will get a chance to see you shoot some day, so long as I'm not the target.
No promises.
The faint sounds of shouting rise above deck. The ship shakes as it releases more cannons. That'll be Draxon sinking my ship. Well, it's not my ship, merely the ship my father gave me for this mission. My real ship, the Ava Lee, and most of my real crew are safe at the keep. While I miss both, I'm also thrilled at the challenge ahead of me. The steps creak as someone descends them. Draxon comes into view not long after. Three men trail behind him, carrying my effects. About time, I say. The faces of the three brutes carrying my bags are red, their breathing rapid. A smile. That probably means they got it all. I do not pack lightly. Each one of them huffs as they drop the bags to the floor. Careful, I snap. The first pirate is rather tall. He almost has to duck in order to traverse below decks. Now that he's dumped his load, he reaches into his pockets and fumbles with something there. A string of what looks like beads peeks out. Some sort of good luck charm, perhaps. The second stares at me as if I'm a tasty morsel of food. He makes the skin at the base of my neck crawl. Best to stay away from that one, I decide. The man at the back of the group is Kieran. Stars, he's ugly. His nose is large, his eyes too far apart, his beard too long and unkempt. His belly hangs over his belt to complete the look. I think that my opinion of him can't get any lower when I notice what's in his hand. He tosses a couple of my dresses onto the heap at the floor. I clench my teeth. Were you dragging those on this filthy floor? Do you have any idea how hard it was to find a girl my size to steal those from?
Shut your trap, Alyssa, Draxon commands. I'm still of half a mind to toss this lot overboard. My word be damned.
Kieran pulls a flask from his many-pocketed coat. He takes a large swig.
Might keep us from sinking, Captain.
Oh, hush, I say. It's not too late for me to kill you. He has the decency to look troubled before taking another drink. Draxon turns around.
Gents, go above and make ready the ship. I want to leave immediately. Kieran, to the helm with you. Await my return.
As they depart, Draxon strolls up to Bryden and slaps him on the back.
How did it go, brother?
Brother? Draxon's hair is darker, but his shoulders have the same broadness as Bryden's. They have the same dark eyes, but Bryden is more handsome. No, not handsome. Rivaling pirates are not handsome. They're bilge rats.
Well enough, Bryden responds. She's very much loyal to her father. She's confident in his ability to rescue her, since his reach upon the sea is so vast. Her words lead me to believe he'll be looking for us in open water, so I recommend we stay close to shore.
Hurriedly, I think back to our conversation, realizing the all-too-revealing mistakes in my answers. Ryden's more clever than he seems. He smirks at my startled expression, or perhaps at the look of death I sent him afterward. Then he continues.
She's got a fiery temperament that matches that red hair atop her head. She's intelligent. I'd guess she's had some sort of proper schooling. As for her fighting and such, I'd wager she was trained by the Pirate King himself, which means he truly cares for her and will agree to pay the ransom.
Excellent, Draxon says.
So the black-hearted Pirate King would indeed come for his daughter. Probably in person,
Ryden says. I'm careful to keep my expression the same. Let them think my father will be looking for me, rather than sitting safe in his keep awaiting my report. However, Ryden's spot on about my training. My father would only trust this mission with someone he had trained himself, and he has only ever trained one person.
Anything else? Draxon asks. She's a dangerous one. She should be kept locked up at all times. I also wouldn't let any of the men be alone with her. For their sakes.
Ryden says that part jokingly, but then he returns to seriousness, taking a deep breath while he collects his thoughts.
And she's hiding something. More than the secrets we already know she keeps, there's something she really doesn't want me to find out.
I stand from my chair and step up to the bars, my mind reeling. He can't know my darkest secret, Only my father and a select few know it. How can you possibly know that?
I didn't.
Jackson laughs. I ball my hands into fists. I want nothing more than to strike Raiden's cocky face again and again until each of his teeth fall out of his smile. But alas, his face is too far away. So I settle for grabbing the sleeve of his long shirt. Since he's still sitting, he flies head first toward the bars. He braces his hands against the bars so his face doesn't connect. That's fine by me, because it gives me the time I need to use my free hand to pluck the key from my cell from his pocket. Once I've got it, I place it in my own pocket and back up to the wooden wall of the cell. Raiden grunts as he stands.
Perhaps you shouldn't be left alone with her either, Jackson says. I can handle her. Besides, she knows that the longer she holds on to it, the longer she'll have to enjoy my company.
I remind myself that I'm on this ship by choice. I can leave any time I wish. I just need to find the map first. I unlock the door myself. The two men allow me to haul my bags into my cell. They don't bother to help. They wait as I make the three trips. Not that I want their help. I'm in a mood to break bones. Raiden's, mostly. Father would no doubt admire my restraint. I lock myself back in the cell once I'm done. Raiden holds out his hand expectantly. I hesitate for only a brief moment before tossing the key at him. He catches it effortlessly. A look of skepticism crosses his face. He grasps a bar of the cell and tugs. It stays firmly in place, locked.
Can't be too careful, Raiden says to Jackson. Did you check through her things?
Aye, the captain says. There's naught but clothes and books in there. Nothing of danger. No, I think we've had enough excitement for one day. Let's go above and decide the best location to stall the ship. And it would be best not to tell the lass where we'll be. Don't need her getting any ideas.
Jackson makes for the stairs. Raiden quirks up the right side of his lips before following. Once they're out of sight, I smile. Raiden isn't the only one to have gathered information during our little chat. I've learned that Raiden and Jackson are brothers, sons of the pirate Lord Jeskor. I'm still unsure as to what happened to Jeskor and his original crew for Jackson to inherit the ship, but I'm sure I will learn that later. Raiden's a good shot, and he has his captain's confidence. How else did he manage to convince Jackson not to kill any more of my men? I wonder what he whispered to him back on the other ship. And why he bothered to step in the first place. Raiden's concern for the men on this ship, not just with the normal concern that a first mate might have for the men he oversees. I think back to when he told me all the men on the ship are killers, and how saddened he was by it. He feels responsibility for something. Perhaps it is tied to whatever happened to the original crew of the Nightfarer. There are many secrets aboard this ship, and I will have plenty of time to discover them all, starting tonight. I shake my right arm. I feel the metal slide down and slip into my hand. It's the key to my cell. Chapter 3. I had ample opportunities to snatch the key from Raiden. The trick was finding a way to lock myself in the cell before switching the key with another one I'd brought on board with me. I guessed that the key to my own ship's brig would be about the same size. Raiden couldn't have noticed the difference. He's not as clever as he thinks, and I'm far more clever than he realizes. Big mistake on his part. Now that I'm alone, I rummage through my bags to find something suitable to wear. I can't stomach this sailor's outfit any longer. It'll take an entire bottle of perfume to rid my skin of the stench of the last owner. Who knows when I'll be allowed a bucket of water to wash? With Captain Draxon's cruel demeanor, I'm sure it will be quite some time. I select a dark blue corset with wide sleeves that attach with thick ribbons. I place these atop a white blouse. The corset ties up the front, so I'm able to do it myself. I never had ladies to wait on me like landfaring noblemen's daughters. There are not many women willing to work for pirates, and the ones equipped for a life at sea are not wasted as maids. My own crew back at the keep is nearly entirely composed of women, a fact I am proud of. I pull on a pair of black leggings and a pair of clean breeches atop that. My boots, perfectly snug and comfortable, go on next, extending all the way up to my knees. I sigh in contentment once I'm done. Looking good certainly helps to make one feel good. Humming as I work, I grab a book titled Depths of the Sea from one of my bags. It's an index of all the creatures known to live in the ocean. I memorized each entry long ago, and I've spent so much time at sea that I've seen more creatures than charted in the work itself. That's why I had no problem hollowing out the binding of the book and hiding a small dagger inside. Voices and footsteps reach my ears. I quickly place the dagger into my right boot and drop the book back with my other things. I sit down in what I hope is in an inconspicuous manner as three men enter the brig.
"She don't look like much,"
one says to the others.
"But did you see what she did to Gastel and Mull?"
another asks.
"Get his rocks."
The third man remains quiet, watching me as the others do. "Have you finished ogling?" I ask. "Or are you hoping I'll perform tricks for you?"
"Don't mind us," the first pirate says. "It's not every day you get to see the Pirate King's own flesh and blood."
"And am I what you were expecting?"
"They say the Pirate King is as big as a whale and as fierce as a shark. We weren't expecting a tiny little thing."
"I must take after my mother," I say. I've never met my mother, so I couldn't say for certain, but my father tells me I received my red hair from her. The rest of the day is much like this. Pirates come and go, taking whatever chance they can get to see the Pirate King's daughter up close. After the first bunch, I stay mostly quiet. It's close to nightfall when my last visitor shows up. Whereas all the other pirates arrived in groups, this man comes alone. He's not much to look at, this one. Medium height and build, brown hair and beard. He does look older than most of the other pirates on board. Maybe not quite 30, but it's hard to tell with the beard hiding the bottom half of his face. He's got a gold coin in his right hand, which he moves over his knuckles with ease.
"Hello, hello, sir," he says. "Name's Theris."
I've been leaning back on two legs in my chair, but now I sink forward, straightening myself. I must have seen every man on board pass through here at least once today. Why should I remember you? Or care what your name is?
"You shouldn't," he says, reaching a hand up and scratching his forehead.
His fingers move fast, but the movement is unmistakable. He draws the letter K.
"I'm not a very interesting man to know."
The K is for Callaghan. It's the signal men under my father's employ used to identify themselves. Theris must be the man on the ship working for my father. He would have been the one who let my father know that the crew of the Nightfarer wanted to kidnap me in the first place. You never know when unfriendly ears are listening in, so I keep the conversation casual. So it would seem.
"Just wanted to catch a glimpse of the Pirate King's daughter."
"And let me catch a glimpse of you?"
"Precisely. Sometimes survival isn't about what you can do, but who you know."
"Noted," I say icily. Theris nods before retreating. I wasn't expecting my father's man to make himself known to me. We have different jobs on the ship. Theris is to provide my father with information about this ship and its captain. Mine is to play the role of thief. We should need to help each other. In fact, we're expected to be able to perform our tasks alone. But my father is counting on me not to fail. Perhaps his desire to find the map is so great that he's ordered Theris to keep an eye on me. On the one hand, I can understand why he wouldn't want to take any chances, but on the other, I'm deeply insulted. I can handle this mission on my own, and I won't be calling on Theris for help. I have to wait until nightfall before I can start. I can tell when the sun sets, because most of the pirates retire below. I can't see them from the brig, but I can smell them. They can't be far. I can imagine them sleeping in hammocks or on a straw-strewn floor. Whatever it may be, it's bound to be better than the brown-caked floor I'll be sleeping on. I cringe at the thought. I start humming again as I shrug on my coat, which is fashioned similarly to the juste corps men wear,
but mine was made for a woman's figure. Mansi made it for me. She can wield a needle just as well as she can wield a sword, which is only one of the many reasons why I made her part of my crew. Though the coat will help me look like any other sailor if I'm seen from a distance, I hope I won't have much need to blend in once I'm above deck. I'm counting on the cover of darkness to mask me. Once I've got my cell unlocked, I silence my humming. I drift around the lower areas of the ship, getting a feel for the shape of it. A storage room for food and supplies, a treasury for the pirates' plunder, a modest kitchen, and the main crew's sleeping quarters make up the space below decks. Easy enough to remember. Now I need to make it into the captain's quarters without being seen. I don't have Drexen figured out yet, but if I were trying to hide something important, like a map, I'd keep it close. There is a possibility, however, that Drexen doesn't even know the map is on board. It belonged to his father, who is a descendant from one of the three ancient pirate lord lines. I am, of course, descended from one of the others. Lord Jeskel may not have even told his sons about the map. No matter. The map has to be on board. Jeskel would have had it here when he died, and Draxon's quarters used to be his own. They're most definitely the first place I should look. I peek up over the last step of the stairs, observing the deck. It's hard to see, as the moon is almost new. Naught but a sliver of light shines down upon the dark deck of the Nightfarer. The ship was once a standard caravel ship, a type of vessel used for maritime exploration. Most pirates steal them from the Land King's own armada. Then we make adjustments to fashion the ship to our own liking. I can see that Jeskel has had the rigging redone. He's exchanged the traditional lateen sail on the main mast with a square-rigged sail. Smart, as it'll give him more speed. I also noted, while I was back on my father's ship and watching the Nightfarer approach, that Jeskel's added a figurehead below the bowsprit. I doubt the Land King has ever had large carvings of women fashioned to the fronts of his ships. He was much too practical for that. There are only a few men above deck. Someone's at the helm, a man sits in the crow's nest, and a couple of others roam the deck to ensure all is well. I can tell exactly where they are because they hold lanterns out in front of them. Draxon and Raiden will already be in their quarters, assuredly sleeping. They just made an impressive capture. They will have celebrated. Now they're likely sleeping off their drink. I anticipate tonight's venture going over smoothly. There are two separate levels above deck at the stern of the ship. The lower level likely holds Raiden's quarters. The captain's will be off the aftercastle. All I need to do is get past the man at the helm. Luckily for me, the man seems drowsy. He lazily leans against the railing while holding the helm with one hand. Jackson's doors are likely unlocked. He wouldn't need them locked while he's in there. Unless he's paranoid or mistrusting of his crew. He didn't seem to be either sort to me, so I should be able to get right in. I crouch on the deck beside the stairs that lead up to the second level. I wait for the man's head to loll to the side. Standing on my toes, I carefully creep up the companionway. All is well until I get to the last step, which creaks out a sound so loud in the silence, it feels as though I could have heard it from below decks. I feel my body go rigid at my mistake. The sailor at the helm jerks awake fiercely, turning his head toward the sound, toward me.
"Blast it all, you gave me a start. Please tell me you're here to relieve me, Brennell."
He's too tired, and the sky is too dark for him to tell who I really am. Quickly, I play along, lowering my voice as much as I can. I keep my response short. I've no idea what Brennell sounds like, and I can't risk my voice being off.
"Thank the stars. I'll be off, then."
He heads below decks while I stand there. I need to hurry before the real Brennell shows up for his shift. Without another thought, I slip inside Draxon's quarters. I spot him instantly, lying on the bed. His face is turned away from me, but I can see the steady rise and fall of his chest. He's out. A candle burns softly near the bed, offering the room a little light and warmth. The place isn't filthy, but neither is it exactly tidy. This is a small blessing, at least. It's much harder to mask thieving when tossing a clean room. It's easier for the owner to tell if something's been touched. Now I get to work, starting at the desk where he has various papers and maps strewn about. The map I seek will be different from the others. For one, it's older. It'll be fragile and darkened with age. Also, the map will not bear the language of the common tongue. Its language, too, is more ancient. There are few who know it. Lastly, the map is not complete. It is one of three pieces, separated long ago and dispersed to the three pirate lords of the time. With the three pieces united, the bearer will be able to find the legendary Isla de Canta, an island heaped with untold treasure and protected by its magical occupants, the Sirens. It's not anywhere on the desk or near it. I checked each drawer for false bottoms and hidden compartments. I move on to the cupboards where he keeps his clothes, rifling through every pocket in each garment. I feel a desperate need to wash my hands afterward, but I squelch the urge. Instead, I continue to scour the place. I pick at each wooden panel in the floor to see if anything is hidden underneath. I lightly tap the walls, listening for irregularities that hint at secret openings. I strike the last wall a bit too harshly, and Draxon rolls over in his sleep. Thank the stars, he does not wake. Deep sleeper, that one. Lastly, I check under the bed. He's got a few things here. Thick woolen stockings, a broken sextant, a telescope. When I want to sigh in exasperation, I swallow instead. It's not here. It's not anywhere in this room. Or the adjoining washroom and sitting room. And that means it's somewhere else on the ship. But the ship is enormous. There are countless hiding places, and I will have to check them all until I find the map. I'm going to have a miserable time of it. Opening the captain's door quietly, I peek my head out. I've spent over half the night. No point in doing any more searching now. Might as well return to my cell for some sleep. Brennell seems to have made his appearance, and he looks wide awake. He has both hands placed firmly at the helm. How to get past him? If I simply walk out, he'll notice I'm not the captain. I'm too short. If I could just make it down the companionway, he probably wouldn't take notice of me, but is a good 10 feet away. I tiptoe back into Drexon's quarters and search for something to use. Eventually, I find a copper coin. Perfect. Back at the door, I place the coin over the top of my thumb and flick it toward the port side of the stern. Brennell turns his head in that direction, leaning forward and squinting. Quickly, yet silently, I make for the stairs on the right and ascend them, remembering to skip the step at the top. When I hit the deck, I slam my back into the wall behind the companionway, ducking out of sight. I think I took the final step too loudly. And Brennell is bound to be even more alert now. I should wait a couple of beats before heading below decks. A door to my left opens. The door to Raiden's quarters. He looks first to his left, then to his right.
I thought I heard something. Afraid I'm a light sleeper. Didn't expect you, though.
I have only a moment to register the fact that all he has on are a pair of breeches before he reaches for me. I have nowhere to go. Between the walls and the stairs, the only way out is through him. And I suppose it makes sense to simply let him catch me, even though my instincts scream at me not to. I want to be here. I have a job to do. It's okay to let him catch me.
How did you get out of your cell?
He asks. Not an ounce of sleep traces his words, though he had to have just woken up. He grabs me by my upper arms, holding me in place. I say, I stopped the first pirate I saw and asked really nicely. His face is cloaked in shadows, but I swear I can hear his smile.
I'm the only one who has a key.
Perhaps you dropped it, then. That was careless of you. He touches his side as if to grab a pocket, then remembers he's not wearing a shirt. A fact I haven't been able to forget. It wouldn't be so bad if he didn't smell so good. Pirates are supposed to stink. Why does he have to smell like salt and soap? He yanks me forward, and I realize I should probably be putting forth at least a little resistance. So I place my hands on his chest and shove. The night air is brisk, but Raiden is still warm from being wrapped in bed. Warm and solid and good-smelling. With iron-gripped fists, if he bruises my other arm, I will have to retaliate. He hoists me to the door he came out of. It's as dark as the end of a cave in here, but Raiden seems to find whatever he's looking for just fine. He pulls me back outside with him and holds something up in the air for me to see.
"This would be the key I so carelessly dropped," he says.
"Strange, that," he sighs.
"Hello, sir. What are you even doing out here?"
"You've kidnapped me. What do you think I'm doing out here?"
"The rowboats are over there."
He points to the opposite side of the ship.
"So why would you be lollygagging around my door?"
"I wanted to kill my captors before I left."
"How'd that work out for you?"
"Still working on it."
"I bet."
Down the stairs we go, past the sleeping crew and into the brig. Raiden shoves me back into my cell. Then he tries the key. Obviously, it doesn't fit. Raiden observes it more closely. Surprise takes over his face.
"You switched them."
"Hmm?" I ask innocently. He comes into the cell with me.
"Give it to me."
"What?"
"The key."
"You have the key in your hand."
"It doesn't fit."
"You can hardly blame me if you broke it." I don't expect him to buy any of what I say. I'm learning that I enjoy toying with him. I like the surprise and not respect, but something close to it that shows on his face when he learns something new about me. But I can't let him discover too much about my true nature. That'd be dangerous.
For him.
Because I won't fail. I can only imagine what my father would do to me if I did. But I'm not afraid. I'm doing this not only for my father, but also because I want to. Because I'm a good pirate, and the hunt is thrilling. Because I want to reach the Siren Island as much as any other pirate. Perhaps even more so. I'm determined to do whatever it takes to get the map. If Raiden becomes too difficult, I will remove him from my path by any means necessary.
I'll give you one more chance to hand it over, Princess.
It's brighter down here. Several lanterns are lit outside the cells. I can see Raiden's face perfectly. In the get-up he's wearing, I can see a lot of him perfectly. I don't have anything, I say again. He steps toward me slowly, keeping his eyes on mine as he does so. I back up until I hit the wall, but he continues to advance. His face is too close. I can see flecks of gold in his eyes. They're lovely eyes. I'd like to study them longer. But suddenly, his hands are on my hips. I think I might stop breathing, but I'm unsure. I'm startled, certainly. Am I supposed to slap his hands away, or stand still? He moves his hands up my stomach, never taking his eyes off me. Now I know I'm breathing because I think I might have just gasped. I'm pretty sure I should slap his hands away. But I don't. Once he reaches my ribs, he moves his hands to my arms, running them up to my shoulder.
"I don't know what you're wearing," he says, "but I like it."
"Custom made," I say.
"And then stolen by you?"
I shrug. "What are you doing?"
"What does it look like I'm doing?"
"You're touching me."
"I'm trying to get my key back."
"Sounds like an excuse to touch me." He smiles and leans forward so his mouth is at my ear.
"I don't see you stopping me."
"If I had, I wouldn't be able to do this." His eyes shoot up in alarm, but he doesn't have enough time to guess what I'm about to do until I've already done it. Yes, I knee him. Right between the legs. He takes some time to recover, enough for me to exit the cell and lock him in. He stares